And I ain't hear no drop in a minute. No, I'm about my business.
Rappers Got Podcast, episode 20. This is your host, Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And we are back to talk more about the writing process. Where do we leave off?
We were just basically talking about how I just mumble my raps, like how I be mumbling sometimes on the podcast.
That's true. So I write my bars.
Fully?
Everything. There's a big thing going on where like people don't want to write anymore.
Oh yeah, the new Jay-Z, Lil Wayne's.
I freestyle my shit. And it takes them, you know, an hour and a half to record a 2-minute record.
Yeah.
I saw a video that T-Pain did the other day. And he was like, just because you freestyle your bars, he's like, that's not dope. He's like, that just means you don't give a fuck.
I feel that way. I honestly feel that way. Because I can deadass go into the booth and just mumble my shit and just make it into real words. But it's like, did I really put any thought to it? Like, I like to sit down and think how everything's going to play out.
I'm going to talk for both sides, right? Because I also, again, we never want to be that podcast that just looks down on people.
True.
Because of their creative process. So, for the argument for them, right? There is something, I guess, loose and like free about coming up with shit on the spot and thinking about it. And it, I guess there's less of reading it off paper, right? Yeah. There's less of that like mechanical and...
Because it sounds horrible when you're recording and you're like reading it as you're going.
Okay. And a lot of them will use that argument when it comes to why don't you write your stuff? They'll say like, oh, because I don't want it to sound like I'm reading it off paper. But part of what makes you a good rapper is not sounding like you're reading it off paper.
Also true.
That's a skill in itself. Like when we first started, one of the things that people would say to you when they would listen to your music is, yo, it's cool, but it sounds like you're reading it.
I hated hearing that shit.
Remember that?
Because I'd be like, I'm not even fucking...
No, but you remember that though, yeah, right? Where people would be like, yo, it just sounds like you're reading it.
And I'll definitely, sometimes I was reading it, but after a while I wasn't. I was like, what are y'all talking about?
But also, it takes time to get good at not sounding like you're reading it.
Because that comes with, deals with the flow.
Right. So when kids have that argument, yo, I like freestyling because it doesn't sound like I'm reading it. They're just removing the idea that like, yo, it takes time for you to get good at that. And that's literally part of being a good rapper is not sounding like you're reading it off paper. That's like an easy tell that you're a new rapper and you don't know what you're doing.
And now that I'm thinking about it, I want to backtrack my statement a little bit. I think this is where the confusion comes in. If in your mind you are writing this song, you're technically not writing per se,
okay,
but you are.
Good. Okay, this is another thing. You're not freestyling.
You're not, no.
You're not freestyling. Like, freestyling is something completely different than what you're doing. What you're doing is you're writing in your head. That's not freestyling.
It's not.
The act of freestyling is coming up with the entire thing on the spot in one sitting.
Because I've watched people freestyle. Well, what I would assume they were freestyling.
I used to be great at freestyling.
I can't do that shit.
All right, I used to get fucked up. I would drink at a party. People would start throwing down beats. And I would go on for 3 minutes. That's a freestyle. Off the top of my head, I would go off for 3 minutes straight. And, you know, there's like little drop-offs where like, you know, you're saying bullshit. And then you pick it right back up and you figure something out. But that's actually freestyle.
That's a freestyle.
To sit and punch every single line, that's not freestyling. That's just writing line for line in your head.
And you're just building the song up as you go.
Because what is the difference? If you're sitting there and taking, you know, 20, 30 seconds, even if you took 10 seconds, what's the difference between that and taking 10 seconds to write a line?
I think it's just, once again, hearing like your idol say they don't write anything down. Even like when Wayne, like we used to say, he doesn't write anything, you know. When you hear it, you literally think that he's not writing anything. But once again, if you're in your head and you're just laying the bars down word for word, then you are writing it. And for me personally, I do that too now in my music. I've gotten to a point where I'm technically not writing anything down and I'm remembering it in my head. So this way, the flow comes out a little bit more naturally when I'm recording it. But I'd be lying if I said, if I get like probably like 6 bars in, I'm writing that shit down because I'm going to forget. And that happened to me a lot of times where I don't write it down. And it'll be like a switch up in what I was trying to do. And if I didn't write it down, I kind of don't remember it. And it's just like, shit, I probably just lost something that could have been potentially creative because I wanted to have a little ego.
I'll go even further than that. Sometimes I write a song, write it, and then I forget how I wrote it.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
And then I'll
go
back to it and start to spit it. And I'll be like, nah, that can't be how it sounded. So now what I started doing is I'll write a song. And if I'm not going to record it that second, I'll take a video of me rapping it. So the next time that I come back to the beat. And what's weird is that when you do that, your brain doesn't even let you forget.
Yeah, it can't.
Because I rarely have to go back to the video.
And I'm telling you right now, you probably have a few in your inbox of me just being like, my face is all up in the fucking thing. I'm like, yo, my apologies for just having my shit all the way up there. But I get so excited that I'll record it there and then I'll send it. But that's kind of also me writing it down sometimes. And, you know, just me having the home studio, that's another benefit. I can just record the shit as I'm going along, even if it isn't a real full take. It's the reference track.
Right. And you could go back and you could fix it. But the problem is a lot of artists don't want to re-record. And I feel like you're that type of guy too, where if you have a full idea out there, even if it was meant to be a reference, I feel like you'd have a hard time going back and re-recording the entire thing. Am I wrong?
I tend to do that. Like, I'll have the whole goddamn verse, like, just... I'll do it. I'll re-record it, because sometimes when I'm just doing a reference check, I don't give a fuck what's in the background. There could be noise. My girl could be in there, so I'll record it. Gotcha. As long as I can keep her out enough, but you'll still hear some of those things. But once I, like, feel like, okay, I can't just bypass this. Like, anytime that I've sent you something, I probably already had the reference track, but then I just re-record it again because I'm just a weird guy when it comes to recording.
That's fine. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, I tend to like re-recording, but I really hate having to do it when I feel like, you know, I probably did my best. That's the part where I just like, I really don't want to re-record.
If you feel like you did your best, that's fine. I think that sometimes people didn't do their best. And then the idea of having to re-record something that's complete, you know, some people will be like, yo, I'll never get the same vibe that I had that day. It's like, yes, you will.
And it actually happened to one of my cousins before when I was like having people come over to the studio. He had recorded a song. It was called like Top to Bottom Louis V. It was a good song. I was featuring on it. That's why I think it's a good song on top of that. But he wanted to re-record it, and then he like tried to re-record it, and it just never had the same flow or anything. And I just kept telling him, like, yo, you know that last track is just, it's perfectly fine. Why are you trying to reimagine or recreate it?
Yeah, but see, fast forward, and I bet you that the reason why you felt like that was because you had demoitis.
It might have been demoitis. It definitely was demoitis. I still have it on SoundCloud. I just like made it private, so I'll listen back to it. It's like definitely demoitis.
There's a version of A Millie by Lil Wayne. Mm-hmm. That came out on mixtapes prior to the album dropping, where a millionaire, I'm a young money. He had this very aggressive tone.
Yeah.
And then the album came out and he, a millionaire, I'm a young money millionaire. He had a more calm tone. I preferred the aggressive tone. But the fact that those two versions exist mean that he went back and he re-recorded the song.
I remember that. I remember that vaguely.
Different. Back in the day when mixtapes would drop, it wouldn't always be like the full version. It would be like the reference of the version that they were going to do. And sometimes you fell in love with the reference, you know? And that goes back to the demoitis conversation that happens. But I think that going back and perfecting, or not perfecting it, because nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect.
Yeah.
Right? I think that going back and cleaning it up as much as possible and making it sound as good as it possibly can, I think that that's beneficial to being a recording artist. I think that you can't fall too in love with a scratch track or a reference track, because, you know, there's going to be times where like you record something and, you know, Dr. Dre is known to tell people to do something 100 times, say it 100 times over and over till they get the exact tone that he was looking for. And I think that shit's dope.
That's what
I think it's too much.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of the time, like that first take, we've talked about it, that first take and that 100th take sound exactly the same. But I think it's important to treat every single song like it could be the one. And I don't think that people do that, especially like us. Like, we might lose track of that because we put so much content together.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting so much music out that, you know, it's difficult for you to like take every song just as serious as the last. But like, you don't know which song is going to be that one that attaches to someone.
Yeah, because there was some certain times when I even recorded songs, I'm like, I'm not really feeling this one. You're like, yo, I feel like this shit is the hardest thing out. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't look at it that way. One of my friends, he still thinks like Ugly was like one of the best songs that he's ever heard about me. And I'm just like, I told you myself when you mixed it, I was like, this was just like a throwaway song for me. But you just never know what it's going
to
be.
But see, that's the thing. Like every song attaches to a different person.
Exactly.
And there's someone that thinks your worst song is the best song you've ever done.
And then it gives me a different perspective, because then I start listening to it a little bit different. I'm like, oh, this shit is fire. I can understand why people say that. But at first, you know, always artist head or whatever you want to call it. I don't think there's like a correct term for that shit. Like when you're just in your artist mode and it's like, this is not good enough. Or this isn't what I think it was going to be.
I just
think
that it's perfectionist. It's that perfectionist mentality.
Yeah.
And I think that if it doesn't sound like perfection, sometimes we just like don't think that it's as good as it is, you know?
And that comes with the writing process sometimes too, because there's sometimes I'm like, so this bar just doesn't hit where I may want it to hit, or maybe it just was perfectly fine, but then I just get into my mind and I just take it out for no reason.
And then someone hits you or like say you're not all the way attached to a line and you put the song out, and then someone hits you and they're like, yo, that one bar is crazy. And you're like, oh, okay.
I didn't think so. I just threw it in there. Bar. Yeah, exactly.
That's the one that I did not like that much. I think we forget that people are simple. A lot more simple than we think.
And when it comes to consumers, like listening
that's
to
what
music.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
consumers. Yeah, like they don't need all that extra shit. Now, there are people that like all that double entendre and extra rapidy rap shit. But like for the most part, people aren't looking for that. And I think that time will tell you that like more people become successful not being like that.
Yeah.
Than the ones that are like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have all these underground acts in hip hop that are still underground. Their whole career was underground because they're so technical.
And so lyrical and everything at a source. It's just like, yeah.
And again, going back to the ceiling conversation we had, like their ceiling is maybe touring Europe and like maybe they make a good income off that. But like, they'll never be that rap millionaire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They'll never get to the point of a nice major label artist, not even a Drake or whatever. It could just be a regular major label artist who makes a living off this shit and is successful. A lot of the time when you're one of those underground rapidy rap rappers,
mm-hmm.
like you might still be broke.
Yeah.
Cause it requires people to buy your shit. And it's also like the market that you're selling it to.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're that gritty underground guy, you're probably attracting a lot of gritty underground people. And gritty underground people don't have money.
And they probably not like paying that gritty price either.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, that shit slot.
I don't know. I think that, like, when I write my own music, I try to understand that, like, this needs to appeal to the rap guy and to the regular consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some people might see that as, like, a lack of integrity for your own artistry.
No, because I wouldn't look at it like that just because I'm making music for people to listen to it anyway. Even though it's coming from me and it's my story and it's like my perspective, you don't listen to music with the intention of people not listening to it.
Do you remember that group chat we were in? I'm not saying names, but do you remember the group chat we were in with the producer when he wanted 8 people on the record?
Yeah, we went to like a Wu-Tang Clan type of thing.
He wanted to do like a big cypher.
Yeah.
And do you remember the conversation that I was having with him?
Yeah, like nobody's probably going to stick around.
Do you remember when he said, I don't give a fuck if anyone listens.
Also true.
Remember what I said?
Yeah, like no, if we didn't care, we wouldn't even be making the music.
Right.
Or we wouldn't even put it out for anybody to listen to.
The producer said, I don't care who listens to it as long as it's dope. I said, if you didn't care who listened to it, then why the fuck are we doing it?
Yeah.
I personally make music because I want people to listen to it.
Shit, me too.
I don't need a large fan. I don't need to be famous. I don't care about that, but like, I think you're completely lying to yourself if you say that you make music and you don't care if people listen to it. You know, like I make music for myself first.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to sound good to me.
Something that I could bump to.
It needs to be that shit that I could ride in my car and put on and I feel good.
Yeah.
Right. But also like I'd be completely lying if I said I didn't want people to admire my art. Of course you do. Right. Like I don't give a fuck how dope it is. If no one listens, how dope is it?
It's not that dope at all.
Because if the general consensus is don't play that song, then maybe it's not that dope. Maybe in your head it's dope. Or maybe, like, to you, it's the dopest thing ever. And to that, like, sure. You know, I'm sure there's a painter out there who made a piece that he thought was going to be, like, $1 million piece, went to sell it, and they were like, this is trash.
Yeah.
That probably happens. But, like, to say that you don't work on music for people to listen to it and to, like, admire it in some way is false.
Yeah. And then also, you don't want to, like, alienate yourself, like, for the most part. Like, in a sense of if you got... Like, when it comes to, like, writing the music, right? And you get into that whole mindset, like, I don't give a fuck if whoever hears this, whatever the case may be, or I got to rap at this highest of level and I can't bring it down. Don't alienate yourself.
I'll tell you what I did stop doing. Not that I stopped wanting people to listen to my music, because, like, that always feels good.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped caring so much about the response.
The judgment or, like, how people perceive right. it.
And I think that music is way more fluid for me now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all the benefits of, like, making music and, like, I think that I've reaped the most rewards from not caring so much about people's opinion about the music. I think it flows smoother when you're not looking to make people happy. And I think the writing process is a lot easier when I stop caring about how they would feel about this line.
I wish we had that machine so I could put ding, 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 ding right there. Because honestly, I have that same mindset now. Anytime it comes to me writing a song, or once the song is out, somebody may hit me up like, oh, I really didn't like this one. I say, okay, that's cool.
I always felt like this. Why did you feel comfortable telling me that?
Also true. Yeah.
Like, I just don't get that. If you're a chef, right? And you made a dish and I think it sucks. I'm not telling you that shit. If you opened a restaurant and I think your food is fucking garbage,
mm-hmm.
and I went to support you, and I ate your food, and you came up to me, you said, yo, how's the food? I'm saying it's good, man.
Nah, I'm... it depends on how I'm feeling that
I'm day. Not personally going to tell you at your new restaurant that you just opened, yo, this shit's kind of gross, man. I don't like the way this tastes. What gives you the right to do that as a human being? Because I'll tell you why people do that to their artist friends, and this really bothers me. I'll tell you why people do that to their artist friends is because they have access to them, because they would never in their fucking life reach out to a artist with some acclaim,
a bigger name artist,
and be like, I don't like this song.
Yeah, everything.
Who the fuck cares?
Everything is to do social media.
Right? So, like, why is it that you as a human being, as the consumer, are able to understand Drake doesn't give a fuck how I feel about this song?
Mm-hmm.
But then you'll go and you'll hit up your friend who's a musician and be like, I don't like this song. Like, bro, keep that shit to yourself.
Never even thought about
it. I remember one time a person hit me to say that they don't like my voice.
I used to hear that a lot.
And I didn't get bothered by the statement, I don't like your voice. What bothered me was, why did you feel comfortable saying that?
That's a deeper...
And like, I don't want to be around someone that feels comfortable just saying that.
Yeah. So, like,
it's just a really odd statement. Like, you knowing that, like, you could have kept that inside and mm-hmm. just went on with your day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a best friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
I actually, like, value their opinion.
Yeah.
If this is someone that I barely talk to and I don't know,
I get what you mean.
And you're hitting me out of the blue to be like, yo, I don't like your voice.
Cause that was gonna be my next question. Cause, like, I look at that as, like, if you rather them not say anything, with, like, is that, like, more of, like, a yes man-ish thing going on?
No. Because I don't like your voice doesn't tell me anything I could fix.
Also true, because that's my voice. Which I always say all the time, too. And now people just used to say that they hated my voice or they didn't like my voice. Like, they listen to my music now.
I don't like fucking Fran Drescher. Do you remember The Nanny?
I don't
like her voice. I just don't watch the fucking show.
I don't watch the show.
Like, if you don't like someone's voice, just don't play the music, right? It's that simple.
Makes sense.
So for you to reach out to somebody who's making art and be like, I don't like your voice, is just confusing to me. Because it's like, yeah, you could have easily not typed that and went on with your day.
Because what is that critique for? It's not even doing anything.
Exactly. It's not literally constructive. Not doing anything. It doesn't do anything for you. And that's what I'm saying. Like yo, I have a line on one of my songs that I said, I don't take critique without credentials.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't feel like you are capable of doing the same thing, Now, yo, if a rapper hits me up and they go, yeah, I don't really fuck with that one song. I didn't like this about it. Mm-hmm. I'll take that because they're capable of the same thing.
And they're also within the same realm. Because like, it's so much easier for people to throw the tomatoes at you, but they've never been on the stage performing or know what it's like to even construct or do anything.
Yo, fuck that. Even put out a record. Yo, it's beyond just being on stage. Like actually putting a record out. People don't understand how nerve-wracking that is for a young person. Like, forget me now, because now, you know, when someone hits me up, this happened a long time ago. But when someone hits me up now and they say something, like, dog, I've heard everything in the book.
Possibly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing that you could say at this point of my career that's going to bother me to the degree of, like, actually hurting my feelings. But, you know, for me to, it's like, I feel almost like they're like the academics.
Yeah.
It's like, you're that fat kid that sits in your mom's basement and like talks shit that you probably wouldn't say in person. And beyond that, because I'm not trying to make it an aggressive thing, but like, I don't think that you're capable of doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that you have any stake in the game where you can actually talk.
And for the artists out there that are listening, like, pay attention to that. Because it's like, once again, people will, like, I know we're talking about songwriting, but this all is all encompassed together. Because, you know, you're putting a lot into this, usually writing these songs, right? And then somebody will come by and just give you like some quick jab to your side. And you're just like, where'd that come from? And you're like, you're trying to put your all into something. You're going to get to a point where, or you should get to a point where, like, it's just going in one ear and out the other sometimes. And if people are a little bit too comfortable just saying this, that, and the third about your music, at that point, you know, you got to readjust it.
Well, or think about that relationship. If they're saying that to you, I wonder what they're saying
behind your back.
Behind you, right? But like, also, and that's fine. I mean, critique is going to happen, right? If you are someone that doesn't take kindly to critique, like, the music business is going to be a rough go for you.
Very rough.
But to a kid out there who like allows their friends to shit on their records, you know, just remember that you're doing something that if it pans out, or when it pans out, they're all going to change their mind, you know, and recognize that what you're doing is not easy. It's almost like coming out of the closet for people. Like, to be a rapper is like, to even tell people that you're a rapper is an uncomfortable feeling, right? And then to like have them critique it is just like, why?
Yeah, because as soon as you say you're a rapper, rap something for me.
Right. Spit. It's just dumb shit. Like
oh, bro, I worked
at a fucking catering hall, and this is at the time where I was actually signed.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard that I was signed every day in the kitchen. There would be this one kid. He's like, yo, spit some bars. Fam, I'm carrying a fucking tray of Clams Casino right now. The fuck are you talking about?
You want me to rap with some clams in my hand?
Like, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, I'm not trying to rap right now. And I remember at the time I said, that's like seeing LeBron James out to dinner and being like, yo, dribble a basketball.
But like,
and he was like, oh, you think you're LeBron James? Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, looking at someone, like telling someone outside of their career, yo, do your career right now, like, yo, even though you're at work.
Yo, dunk this real quick for me.
Right.
Show me your vertical.
It's like, I don't know. I don't understand the comfort level that some people have with the critiques that they say to like a random person or like a stranger.
Yeah, but I think once again, that just comes from like a negative place of people just being weirdos. And that's like one of the things we always talk about having a tough skin, because you're going to hear almost everything under the sun. But when you ignore hearing everything under the sun, when it's probably constructive criticism, your songwriting will improve. Your vision as an artist will improve. You'll start feeling more confident in doing things. Like I said, 8 months ago, this is when I kind of really started getting into the groove of me really writing my music. And before that, I was kind of listening to what everybody else was saying, oh, you try to change your voice, try to change this, that, and the third. But only thing I really needed to change was just the perspective of, or only thing I needed to change was allowing other people's perspectives in my mind. Because once I got rid of that, and I feel like they can tell me mostly anything when it comes to music, and I'll listen to that. That's constructive criticism.
Again, it's coming from a person who also
understands.
And if it's and random, beyond it's like, that, oh. Beyond that, most of the time, what I'm telling you is also from like an engineering perspective.
Exactly.
It's like, yo, Acting Different, the track you just put out, the original version, the chorus didn't have as much life.
Yeah, it had my bassy deep
like
voice.
Like a baritone deep mm-hmm. voice. And I was telling you, like, yo, for this type of record, I think it would benefit from you being a little bit more lively.
Uplifting, yep.
You know? And I think that worked out for the best in you switching the chorus.
I love the song now.
You know? When you're writing a song, right? I want kids to understand that, like, no matter if people fuck with what you're writing or they don't fuck with it, as long as it's you, feel comfortable. Don't care as much about what people say about your songwriting or what you're saying on records, because the only critique that is valid from people is if you're talking about stuff that doesn't actually pertain to you.
Yep.
So if you're rapping about guns and drugs and violence and you are a little nerdy kid who never experienced any of that, then they have every single right to call you out on that. But if you are rapping about your actual story and you're rapping about who you are personally, whether they like it or they don't like it, rest assured that it's you.
It's you. It don't matter.
Be comfortable. You don't have to worry about how they feel about it, because who cares if they like your story? There's someone out there that does like your story. And that's who you're focused on. That's the person that you're trying to grab. You know, as a young artist, you come up thinking that you have to grab everyone. Like, that's your mission, is to just get as many people as you possibly can. And it has to be a million people and everyone has to like it. Oh, man, this person said they don't like it. Who cares? Because if you're in a room of 10 people, maybe 3 people don't like it. Maybe 3 do. Maybe 3 are on the fence. Maybe 1, mm-hmm. it's his favorite song that ever happened. Like, you can't account for every single person that is in the room. You just have to make sure that you're doing something that feels comfortable to you. And the people that are like you are going to gravitate toward you. They're always going to come back to you. You know, they're going to feel like you're someone who gets them. Because the power that we have as musicians, and the power that we have as rappers in particular, is that we can be very wordy. We can say everything that's on our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can attach it to somebody out there, you could change people's lives with that shit.
Preach.
You know, so I want to just end this episode on that. I just want people to know that, like, when you're writing a song, and I know we didn't get technical about bar structure and this and that, and this was more in the mindset of writing, but when you're writing, just try to make it you.
Yeah, because once again, we ain't do bar structure, but all this information could be useful to create some amazing music. Block out all the bullshit. Be yourself. Don't be afraid to get some assistance. Rhymes on. Use it. We all use it. Even though people may act like they don't use it, we know you're using it. And just be true to yourself. Have fun when in the midst of doing it. Take it serious. Don't just, like, you know, half-ass it. Whenever you find your safe space to create music, that's your safe space to create music. Live by it, die by it. And just a little tip for me, just be careful when you write a music in a tone of voice, because it doesn't always translate well when you record it.
That's a really good final tip.
Yeah.
To write in your own voice, not writing in like Kendrick's voice or Big Sean's voice or whatever, because yeah, then when you spit it, it's just not going to sound right. And yeah, man, you good?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, guys. Rapper's Guide Podcast. We're signing out. This is Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.